Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. I confess to you now that this sermon has a disappointing lack of St. Francis in it. There's a lot going on today. But I hope that you will check out the Shell newsletter article from Thursday, which is all about him. It's online, or you can grab a paper copy from the bulletin board area. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea, for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive." These are the verses that came right before our gospel reading today, and they really do set the stage for the disciples' cry to Jesus to increase their faith. Because in these verses, we see Jesus telling them unequivocally how it is that they are to live in community and that they are to be accountable to one another. Faced with that challenge, the disciples said, "Increase our faith," with an exclamation point. They understood how hard it is to live in community. And so it's easy to read Jesus' response to them. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey you, as a rebuke. Just another time that these disciples just aren't getting it. But what if that's not what he did? What if he looked at each of them earnestly and with love when they asked them to give them more faith? And what if he wasn't clucking his tongue and shaking his head over their lack of faith, but instead spoke those words filled with love and encouragement, as one who would even give up his life for his friends? If this is the case, then if you had faith the size of a mustard seed was a way of telling his friends, you don't need more faith, just this much faith is already enough. And what's more, he changed the question from how much faith is enough, the one that they were asking, to what is your faith to be used for? And this is where the parable that he told comes in. Now, whenever we encounter scripture references to slavery, we need to address what it means. Slavery is a problematic image for us because of our national history of race-based chattel slavery. And it's important to note that slavery in Jesus' day was different. In Jesus' day, slavery was most often a system in which people would work for a set amount of time before being freed. It was not based on race or ethnicity. It was not something that you were born into with no hope of ever escaping. It was understood to be a working relationship. You worked, and your basic needs were taken care of, and you were protected. I'm not saying that this is better, but we need to assert that Jesus' teaching here does not prescribe social order, because passages like this have been used in the past to justify it. And all of that being said, the parable that Jesus taught his friends was something like this. Does a servant deserve congratulations for simply doing their job? Should they be rewarded for doing what is expected? Of course not. This is a relationship of mutual accountability and expectations that we have for one another. The master expects the work done, and the servant expects nourishment and rest and protection. Our relationship with God and with one another is similar to what is being outlined in this parable. To understand faith in this way, as mutual accountability, is to understand faith as a way of life. A way of life that is centered on living in right relationship, where we respect the dignity of every human being and we love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to serve God and one another, not for bonus points or because it's expected of us, but because we know that God has shown us the way to live an abundant life. In other words, that question that the disciples asked, whether or not one has enough faith, misses the mark. And this is the issue at stake when we live together in community, because that is what faith is for. Faith is to help us with the hard tasks that Jesus outlined in those first missing verses. How is it that we can keep from stumbling and knocking into one another? How is it that we can manage to keep forgiving one another again and again? A community that can live that kind of faith is one that's not afraid to ask questions and express doubts and be vulnerable with one another. Nor is it afraid to value mercy over fairness or to forgive one another's failings even when patience wears thin. It's here in this understanding of faith and how we live it together that the image of the mustard seed is so much more than it first seems. If we ask that question, how much faith is enough? Well, then this tiny pinch of holding a mustard seed means one thing. But if we ask the question, what is faith for? Then those little mustard seeds and the plants that they become, well, they point us to something else entirely. Roman philosopher Pliny the Elder, who lived from 23 to 79, so during Jesus' lifetime, once wrote an entire essay about the mustard plant. And in a chapter titled Mustard, the Three Kinds of It, 44 Remedies, he expounded on all the ways that the plant can be used to create liniments for the stings from serpents and scorpions, and as a cure for ailments and poisons. Mustard is a common enough plant. In fact, many view it as an invasive weed. But then, as now, it can be of great medicinal value. And so when Jesus held up that tiny mustard seed as a symbol of faith, perhaps he was saying that our faith needs to be hardy and abundant like a weed, that it can be used to heal and provide comfort to those we encounter. What a faith that would be. Today we launch our annual stewardship campaign in which we invite everyone to prayerfully and thoughtfully consider the ways in which we can support St. James in the coming year through the sharing of our time and our talents and a financial pledge. Our theme this year is Shining Our Light. Like the image of the mustard seed, the image of shining light evokes for us that our faith is, at least in part, meant to be action. But it also is about community, the way that all of our individual lights come together here on this hill in Mount Airy to shine like a beacon of hope and love. In a few minutes, during our stewardship moment, Senior Warden Jeannie Pellissier is going to speak more about shining our light. And if you haven't already done so, please pick up your stewardship envelope at the usher table. And then I invite you to spend some time with the letter and the other materials in it and with Jeannie's words that she will share today. And I hope that you will join me in reflecting on what this community means to you, and pray about how you will pledge to keep it shining brightly in the year to come. Amen.